Hello everyone, my name is Jesus Aguilar, I'm a technical evangelist, and today I'm going to show you how you can create a recommendation system for a website or a blog using Azure Mobile Services and Azure Machine Learning. Alright, so what we're going to do today is I'm going to show you how to create a recommendation system using Azure ML and mobile services. So by the way, I have this recommendation system running on my blog, so you can see it live. You just go into my blog, You can see it live by going to givintoco.com. So that's working. So what I'm going to show you is how basically I did this. So let's think about it. So let's step back a little bit and start talking about the architecture of the solution, right? So the way I do it. Let's step back and start thinking about the architecture of the solution. The way I do this, I basically use Azure Mobile Services to read the information out of the blog. And the way I do it, I just leverage the RSS feed. And the way I do it from the Azure Mobile Services perspective, I have a job, right? Because you have the ability to create jobs in Azure Mobile Services that goes, gets that information from the blog, and then pre-process that data. And pre-processing means that I'm actually removing HTML data, I'm removing CSS data, I'm removing code data, so I only concentrate on having text that is meaningful for the purpose of building the recommendation system. Another thing that I do that is very important, I remove what is called stop words. Stop words in the context of machine learning are words that repeat quite oftenly, but they don't have a semantic value, like for instance that, right, or in, or some of the other common words in English that basically, you know, are important grammatically speaking, but for the purpose of machine learning, they don't provide a lot of value. So the job in Azure Mobile Services takes care of all that. And the job, what it does, basically, you know, parses all that information and then persists all that data in an Azure table. So next, what I do is I have a Azure ML experiment that goes, retrieves that information, and does some magic in order to make the recommendation. I'm going to walk you through what that is in a second. So finally, when Azure ML finish parsing all that information or creating the categorization for all that information, it goes back, I expose that data, sorry, Azure ML persists that information into the Azure table, and they have a custom API that is built in Azure Mobile Services that exposes that data back to the client. And on the client side, what I do is I use the HTML JavaScript SDK to call the API. So it's very lean, you know, it's on the client side, and it's straightforward to use. So that's at a very high level how it works. And let's concentrate about, so this is how it works at a very high level. So now let's jump into the Azure ML piece. So because I guess that's the interesting part about this conversation, right? So let me step back a little bit. And let's assume that you don't have a computer doing anything for you. So let's assume that you have a lot of content that you want to categorize in different buckets, right? And you want to categorize all that content in different buckets because, you know, the idea behind this recommendation system is that if a particular article belongs to one particular bucket, then the recommendation system is going to show all the articles that are related to that particular So the recommendation system is going to show all the related items that are part of that bucket. So if, you know, we didn't have a machine to do that, we will need a person that will have to read all the content, right? And based on the similarity of the content, we'll decide which bucket the content will be part of. So, you know, the illustration that I show you basically, you know, performs that. So, all right. So now let's step back and let's assume for a second that, you know, we don't have a machine learning. You don't have anything sophisticated that is doing the work. So let me try to, you know, give you a high level overview how machine learning is going to do this, but assuming that there is no machine behind it, right? So let's assume that you have a lot of documents and you want to categorize those documents into different buckets, right? And the idea behind this is that the recommendation system is going to give you all the related items that belong to one particular bucket, right? So so the idea here is the recommendation system is going to give you the related items. So let me quickly explain you how this machine learning works behind the scenes, right? So at a very high level, let's assume for now that there is no machine learning, that there is no, you know, computer behind this, right? So the task is actually quite simple. Let's assume that you have, you know, four buckets, right? Four buckets of information. And what you want to do is, given a set of articles, you want to categorize those articles into those different buckets, depending on how similar they are with each other, right? If you were to do this manually, that will mean that somebody gonna have to read all those articles, and depending on how similar they are with each other, you know, they will be allocated into different buckets, right? So as you can imagine, this is really, you know, this is a lot of tedious work, and you don't want to do it by yourself. So what machine learning is gonna precisely do this for you, right? And the way machine learning does this is basically by applying an algorithm called clustering. Clustering is the algorithm that is going to analyze your data, and it's going to try to cluster the articles, right, the contents of those articles into clusters or buckets, right? And the assumption there is that by clustering those articles into the cluster, you can give recommendations based on whatever article belongs into each cluster. So for the purpose of the demo, I'm using, I created a website that actually contains, you know, two distinct sources of information. One is odd news, weird news, you know, zombie bees, captured cobras and many other things, right? And also it has news about rock music, right? And the whole idea here, I wanted to have two distinct sources of information to see whether machine learning has the ability to group them together, right? Because you want to group, the whole idea here is that you want to group the odd news into one bucket or one group, and then you have all the rock music data, and you want that to be grouped from, you know, by itself, you know, all in one bucket as well. So, you know, I wanted to make it distinct and reasonable. So we're going to be using these as our data source for a project. And the first thing that we're going to do is I'm going to execute the mobile service job that is going to read the RSS feed from the website and is going to parse the text, you know, remove the HTML, the CSS, as well as, you know, removing any stop words. And we're going to do that. So I'm executing it right now. And as you can see, it went 200. It's all good. And I go to my table here in Azure Storage. And as you can see here, I have all my data here. You know, I only have 16 entries. You can see the text. Text is quite a lot. You know, it's the content of the actual article and the link and publication date and the title and so on. Right. So let's go to ML. Now that we have the data source, we're going to start configuring our ML piece. Just to recap, again, I'm going to go to that Azure table, and I'm going to retrieve that information, and then I'm going to perform clustering on the text. So what I have here is the experiment that I created, and the module that I use is the reader module. What the reader module allows you to do is to read data from various sources, including Azure table storage. So what I have here is the configuration that allows me to read from my Azure storage table. And then we can visualize that data. So you can see here, I have 16 rows, you know, with 7 columns. And if I scroll down a little bit, I can see some text that is cleaned from the perspective of not having HTML and not having stop words and so on and so on, right? So now that we have a text field, what we need to do in order for machine learning to do something meaningful with it is that we need to vectorize that text, you know? We need to have it in a representation of a vector. What that means is that we need to have some sort of numeric representation of that text. So there are different ways to do this, right? But fortunately, we have a very handy mechanism that is part of ML Studio called feature hashing. Feature hashing will perform what is called hashing, feature caching, what it's going to do is going to precisely do what I described, which is it will convert that text into a vector that will have a numeric representation, right? And a couple of parameters here that I need to put here in order to make that happen. I need to select the text. I need to select the column that I want to apply feature caching to. The column is the text column. There you go. And then I want to specify hashing bit size of 12, which that means that it's going to create columns for math vector. It's going to create 4 to the power. What that means is going to create 2 to the power of 12 number of columns for that will represent basically all that text. And then n-grams. N-grams define how long my term is going to be. So an n-gram equal 2, that means that, you know, for each, what that means is that for each 2 words, right, divided by space, that's going to be considered a term. And that term is the one that is going to go into our hash table. And yeah, I just don't want to make it too complicated, but, you know, I'm struggling with that. So anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to do feature hashing. So there are 2 parameters here that we're going to set is hashing bit size 12. The bit size determines the number of columns of your vector, right? So the number of columns here is going to be, 2 to the power of 12, which is 4,096. And then n-grams. N-grams define how big, n-grams define, you know, what's a term? A term in the sense of, you know, is it, what n-grams define is what is the hash term that you're going to be using. And in this particular case, we're setting an n-gram is equal to 2. What that means is that for every 2 words, that's going to be considered a term. So let's do that. All right, so it just finished. So let's visualize this information. As you can see here, you know, we have a bunch of other columns that were created. Text hashing feature 7, 6, 8, and it's going to go all the way to 4,096, right? I don't, you know, obviously for performance reasons, you know, we don't show you that among other things, but you get the sense that now what we did is we vectorize all that text into different columns, right? So now, I think it will make sense if you think that perhaps, you know, a vector. Now, something that is very important for you to realize is that, you know, having that many columns is not a good thing. In the context of machine learning, there is a well-known issue. They call it the curse of dimensionality, which is this whole idea that by having too many dimensions, then the quality of your algorithms, you know, will be the quality of your outcomes, right? It will be greatly diminished. Depending on, you know, what type of algorithm you choose, you know, the effects of having too many dimensions could vary. In the particular case of k-means, which is the clustering algorithm that we're going to be using here, having too many dimensions, you know, kind of makes the idea of distance, you know, how similar are one vector from the other, very difficult to grasp, or it gets diluted. And this is something that was mathematically proven, but, you know, but the whole idea here is that, you know, having too many dimensions is just not a good idea. So the way to do this, so a way to mitigate this is by doing something called principal component analysis, right? And what principal component analysis, the best way to think about it is that you're getting the components, you're getting the dimensions of your vector that are relevant, only the ones that are relevant. So let me give you an analogy here so you can, you know, grasp this very important concept, right? So let's assume that you want to recognize a person, right? And that person, you're seeing that person, you know, in person, right? In 3D, 3 dimensions, right? So you get a sense of depth, you get a sense of light, you have a sense of perspective. And then you're able to recognize that person. You have a lot of information that you're processing. Now, let's assume that you take a picture of that person, right? And then you're able to recognize it. But by taking the picture now, the amount of information that you are capturing and that you're using for the purpose of identifying that person has significantly been mitigated or reduced, right? Because now you're dealing in two dimensions, you know, lining is not the same, depth is not the same. We can go further and say, you know, let's assume that we cropped only to the face of the person, and then we change the colors to be black and white. And then in that regard, you are reducing the amount of information, but at the same time, you have the capability to recognize that person, right? So it's a similar concept. So the whole idea here is going from 4,096 dimensions to something way smaller that still, you know, contains the essence of the information that we're trying to cluster or that we're trying to use for our algorithm. So in order to do that, it sounds a little bit complicated, but actually it's straightforward to do. And for that, we're going to do that in R. And R is a programming language that is typically used for machine learning purposes. And the code here, what it does is it goes and let me just show you the code here very quickly. So what it does is selects the components that we want to apply PCA two, and those components are all the columns that were part of our hashing, you know, block. And the line of code that actually does PCA is the one that I have selected right here. So we're telling the code what it's doing is, you know, based on that data set, which is the input of my module, apply PR comp, which is principal component analysis, on all those vectors, and the results are going to be contained in this variable. And then I just, you know, combine the existing columns, the columns that were the reference columns, the title, the link, the original text, and so on. And then I combine those columns to my results, and that's what the module actually outputs. So let's do that, and let's execute it again and see how that goes. All right, so let's see the results. So now, you know, you can quickly see that going from 4,000, you can quickly see that, you know, we're going from 4,000 and so columns to only 17, right? So we dramatically reduced the space. And then scroll to the right, you can see all these PC 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, 10 components that correspond to the text and represent a numeric representation of that text, but only the key pieces, and that's very important. So those are the components or those are the dimensions that we're going to actually feed into our clustering algorithm. And I'm just going to jump to the finish experiment so I can walk you through the remaining steps. So what we're doing here, I'm just, you know, using k-means as the algorithm, clustering algorithms. And what we're actually telling k-means is, you know what, let's try to categorize or cluster all this data based on two buckets or centroids. And that's what we're doing here. That's the parameter that we specify here. And then we connected the output of our script, you know, all those PC components or principal components, right, into a clustering model. And then in our clustering model, then we're specifying all the columns that we're actually going to be using for clustering purposes. Then the next thing that we do some casting here of the output. And then I write the data into Azure Storage table, right? So let's execute this so I can show you how that categorization actually was performed and was the outcome of the clustering algorithm to see whether we were able to, you know, more or less have the machine categorize data based on our expectations. And the expectation is basically that we have, you know, a cluster of data that is going to be around rock music and another cluster of data that is going to be around odd news, right? All right, so let's see the results of our algorithm and see what happened. So let's visualize the title. Oh, by the way, you know, what happened here is the outcome of or clustering is this new column that we see here that has something called assignments. So basically, you know, it's a number that represents, you know, to which cluster, you know, a particular road or vector was assigned to. So let's visualize this. And here I'm showing all the titles of all the articles, and then let's compare that to the assignments, right? And then we can see here graphically that, for instance, you know, news about Radiohead, Bob Marley, something about Bono, something about Robert Plant, all of them were very nicely classified into one bucket or one cluster, right? And they have the zombie bees, the two-head, you know, turtle, the lobster, the albino lobster. you have it categorized in some other, you know, in some other clusters. So actually, you know, you can see that the machine actually did a very good job of, you know, making a differentiation between one or the other. Of course, there is some outliers here, like, for instance, you know, ocean sunfish washes Washington. I mean, that's an odd new. That's an odd news, and, you know, it's not supposed to be part of the rock music. But anyway, you know, for the most part, it actually did a very good job of, you know, categorizing the information as we expect. So what is left to do now is to, you know, go back to the client and and show that information, right? So for that, I have an API that was built using Azure Mobile Services. And what the API does is just, based on the title, right, goes and retrieves whatever articles were part of that cluster or centroid, right, and it will return them as recommendations back to the client. So the code is straightforward, simple. Just go there and get whatever is the cluster that corresponds to that title that I received as part of the API, and then I return all those entries that belong to that particular cluster. And on the client side, I do this in JavaScript. I actually call this API in JavaScript. And, you know, the code is straightforward. You know, the name of the API is this here. And then if I get any results, then I go and, using jQuery, I start showing whatever, you know, I have returned from the API. And so if I go back to the website, you can see here the article about zombie bees, and the recommendation came back with, you know, information about the giant shrimp, two-headed turtle, and et cetera, et cetera. So really cool, really easy, really straightforward, nothing complicated. And you can set this up, you know, in any website or blog post that you know the content. You can play around with the centroids and perhaps, you know, you want to categorize in more buckets. You can also play around with the code that cleans the data. So maybe you want to remove some other terms that are relevant to you. You can also play with the engrams. Perhaps the term, perhaps a term for you is perhaps you would get better results if the engram is equal to 3 or 4 or something greater than 2, right? But all those things, you know, are something that you can experiment with. You can, you know, come up with different scenarios in ML. And the good news is that whatever you do in ML, you can change it. You actually have a history of what's... So the good news is that whenever you change any parameter and then you run that experiment, ML actually, you know, has kind of a built-in version control, so you can always go back to previous experiments, and if you change something and perhaps you want to go back to that particular case, you can always go back and get that version of the experiment and then try it again. So you have that capability to do. Just you have this capability of, you know, playing with different parameters and get the best results that are applicable to your case. So thank you so much. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode, and I'm looking forward to hear your feedback, and enjoy, guys.